Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Philosopher's Stone podcast episode. God only knows, 100 and something, maybe. It is April 19th, 2024, year of someone's Lord, I'm sure. But more importantly, the eve of my comedy album slash YouTube special being released to the world. It'll be my first full frontal of my comedy to the world. So I'm pretty nervous, but you guys can all, I don't know who's listening to this at this point, but
I'm here.
Sam, I'm sorry, but you really don't count. It'll be available on Spotify, on Apple Music. It's called Salty. Salty. S-A-L-T-Y. Almost couldn't spell that just now. I think my brain is actually like just rotting slowly away. But Salty, it'll be on YouTube. Just search Jordan Strauss Salty. It'll be on the Comedy Here Often YouTube channel. And then, yeah, Spotify, Apple Music. And it'll be hopefully getting plays on SiriusXM Radio. So, bit of a milestone for my stand-up career.
Yeah, that's incredible. Congratulations.
And thank you.
I can't wait to watch it on YouTube on 420. I'm pretty stoked.
Yes. Marketing genius I am. I requested a 420 release. Get these freaking stoners in right where I want them. You have no excuse. It's a Saturday. You're all high as shit. Watch my comedy special.
It is perfect. 420 on a Saturday this year is just great.
Yes. So the stars aligned, but it is probably the first time I'm really going to like actually fully promote myself as a stand-up. So I'm bracing for some impact, some negative remarks, probably some negativity coming my way. But hey, that's part of the game.
Yeah. Just remember, people are more likely to comment online if they don't like something than if they do like it, I think.
Absolutely. That's true. I rarely leave positive comments. First of all, I rarely comment in the first place, but especially when I'm critiquing something, I feel like I'm basically like more knowledgeable than, say, 90% of the population simply because they haven't made it their life to be knowledgeable about. But yeah, I think negativity does spur on action a lot quicker than positivity. So in any case, I hope people like it too. I watched it again recently and I still think it's funny. So we're good to go. We're just going to do it. It's going. It's the train has left the station. There's nothing I can do to stop it at this point. So
no brakes on this train, baby.
No brakes.
Going down the mountain, grease rails.
Down the ladder. Yeah. On one track, there's a baby. On the other track, there's 70 old ladies.
Oh, my God. And they're all related to you.
Yeah. They're all part of my family lineage. And the baby is Kim Jong-un's grandson. So. A lot to think about.
The heir of the Jong-un dynasty.
Yeah. Imagine being an heir to a dynasty.
Wong dynasty. That was my favorite Chinese takeout place.
Wong Dynasty?
The Wong Dynasty.
Ah. Yeah. Been watching Shogun.
Oh, on Netflix, eh? I've heard mixed things. I've heard some very good things, then I've heard some people like they commit seppuku over nothing. It's not like that.
Well, first of all, it's not on Netflix. It's on Disney. FX. Disney. Okay.
What?
So why is that so mind-blowing to you?
I thought it was on Netflix. Holy shit.
Nope, not on Netflix. On Disney. I assumed it was on Netflix, too, so I was like pirating the first four episodes. Fucking slamming closed pop-ups left, right, and center. Terrible subtitles. Low quality resolution. And then I'm looking on my wife's Disney Plus app and it's right there. It's like, okay, well, we've been watching doing that shit for nothing.
From Netflix, sorry to interrupt.
It is, so people do tend to want to kill themselves really easily. Like, it's to the point where it's like, how did you make it this far in life without killing yourself if you're that hair trigger, if it's like the slightest I mean, spoiler alert, but a guy steps out of line, like he kind of like I don't know. He does something that's not according to the proper etiquette, and then in order to pay for that, he kills his newborn son.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But I will say, cinematography wise, it's amazing. Script writing wise, it's pretty damn good. There's a guy in it who's like the white man of the series, and he is like, I thought for sure he was related to Liam Neeson because he looks like a young Liam Neeson and talks like him, in my opinion. So I don't know. He's pretty good. But it is kind of, it's like political drama basically in ancient Japan. So kind of Games of Thrones vibes, but except for everyone's Japanese and speaking in Japanese the whole time. So it's like really, it can be a lot more difficult to keep track of what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, you can't do the whole blonde hair Lannisters, black hair Baratheons.
No. I noticed they try and give a lot of the characters like unique disfigurements to like so that us whiteys can tell them apart. Like one guy will have an eye patch, one guy will have a scar on his cheek, one guy will have a scar on his head.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. But yeah, it definitely has that Game of Thrones thing where it's like, you know, you're going along and it's all like politics, and then there's just sudden extreme violence out of nowhere at the end of the episode, like they do a lot in Game of Thrones. So I don't know. I don't think it's as good as Game of Thrones. If anyone tells you that, they're lying, but it's still pretty entertaining.
Oh, that's amazing. Shogun, not on Netflix.
Not on Netflix. It's on FX, or you can get it on Disney Plus.
So you canceled Netflix? You cut the cord?
Yeah, we cut the cord. It's such bullshit. I mean, like, why? Okay, this whole subscription thing, and then now we're getting commercials back. Like, what the hell was the deal here? I thought the whole point of streaming was the subscription service was to avoid having to watch advertisements. So as soon as Netflix was like, well, now our lowest tier still has commercials, it's like, okay, well, you went back on your end of the deal.
Yeah, they did. Back in the day, they would mail you DVDs.
Yeah, I did that crazy. when I lived in Massachusetts. I would do that.
Yeah, and I thought that was so dumb because like Blockbuster is right there. Just go to Blockbuster.
No, and because now, then you now have to where leave, am I? You have to leave your house. The whole point of Netflix was never leaving your house.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole streaming thing is very strange. Like, it's taken over video games as well. You don't have physical copies of games anymore. And that means that they can take away the games from you if they want.
Yes. And
they could just turn them off.
No one can own anything anymore. Like now, like I think you used to just buy, like I use Adobe Photoshop a lot. I think you used to just buy it and then now you have Photoshop, but then everything changed to a yearly subscription. So they can just keep juicing you and juicing you and juicing you.
Yeah, it's like that with Microsoft Office. You've got to pay like over $100 a year for Microsoft Office. That's
crazy. Same with the Adobe. I mean, they do keep adding updates every like in an insane rate nowadays, but I don't know. I've noticed that when I open my Instagram up, I'm getting told to talk to the Instagram AI. Everything I do, it's like, "Do you want to ask AI about this?" It's like, just no.
I don't get asked if I want to try anything. Damn it.
Have you updated your Instagram recently?
I posted a story yesterday, I think.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. A rare post from Sam Laboon.
Yeah, I don't post a lot. That's probably why. Neither. It's my Instagram is so nice and clean.
It's just like a house you don't live in.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, it was interesting you brought up train tracks earlier because that's what I wanted to go more into today.
Segway.
If we can segue.
Yeah.
Because I remember last week we were talking about how, like, is it like a, can there ever be a time where you put all of humanity is on one train track, hypothetically speaking? What could you put on the other train track that might give you a good argument for letting all of humanity bite the bullet.
Ooh, okay. Because we kind of touched on this last episode, but it was, and my, I think, I believe I stated that there's almost nothing that could be more valuable than saving the entirety of humanity.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about, and I was I agreed. I thought, oh yeah, maybe this isn't very interesting, but I thought about it some more, and I thought, okay, well, maybe we should try to look into it more and see, like, maybe that's a bad answer from us, because after all, we are humans, so we are naturally gonna place ourselves as the highest moral worth.
Yep.
But maybe that's not right. Maybe we shouldn't make ourselves the highest moral worth. And so we can explore it and see if there's other things, other reasons to think maybe something could have a more of a higher moral worth or standing than all of humanity.
The only thing I could think of is if we confirmed there to be like multiple other advanced civilizations with sentient individuals that deserve to live more than us.
Yeah, that's definitely one option. Like, suppose there's another intelligent race that is morally, intellectually superior to us. Then it's like, we might be like, hey, no, you can't wipe out humanity to preserve this other species, give them the earth or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, imagine like in the movies Avatar, right? Humanity is the bad guy in that. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And if you asked someone that just finished watching Avatar for the first time, they might be like, oh, would you rather save all the Na'vi and keep the Pandoran way of life pure and however it is, the mother tree and shit, or eliminate these, the industrial war machine that is humanity?
Yeah. That's like the, there's a subreddit called, or maybe it's not called that, but there's like this trope, like you know like orcs, right, from fantasy?
Yeah,
there's like a trope that humans are orcs, and we are basically orcs, like we're evolved from apes and stuff like that, like who are kind of orc like chimpanzees are kind of orc like
yeah,
and so we are the space orcs who are gonna go and pillage other planets for ourselves.
Yeah, I wonder where humanity lands in the savagery scale of savagery amongst all the you know advanced civilizations that might exist in the universe. I wonder where we land as far as like we would be considered repulsive by most other civilizations, or are we somewhere near the more enlightened end of the spectrum, shall we say?
Yeah, interesting question. Aristotle famously said, human or man, I think he said man, right? This is before we stopped with such gendered language.
Yeah, it was it was ruining Greece.
So we'll say instead, humans are political animals. That's what Aristotle said, which he meant we're social creatures, and we have social hierarchies that we try to navigate. And usually we try to do it peacefully, but politics, you can't always do it peacefully. And so we bring in von Clausewitz, who famously said war is politics by other means. So essentially you have man as a political animal who sometimes engages in politics by means other than politics, aka war. And so on that scale, I'd say we're pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, most wars are fought nowadays, anyways, almost it seems like a lot of times for the egos of some supreme leader somewhere. Like, it's like, the majority of human, I think it's a fair statement to say that a majority of human beings do not want to die in a war or fight a war, right? Majority of human beings. What's that?
You have to be crazy to want to die in a war, I think.
I know, or completely brainwashed.
Yeah,
but even most extremely religious people, I would say, what they want, their ideal life would to be see their friends and family live happy and long lives, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people are fighting a war for a good cause.
Sure. Yes, but they probably are fighting because they got invaded by a different country, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And why would, I mean, let's use an example of the like Russia and Ukraine, right? I think Russia would have been fine not invading Ukraine. Right?
Is
Russia's
so,
yeah. future depending on in getting Ukraine back? Like, is there not enough resources in that massive country for them to sustain themselves, or not enough if they were like freely trading with the world? Like, I mean, I'm sure the answer is well documented now, but like, why does Russia absolutely feel the need to take Ukraine back?
I think it's mostly just like because, A, I think it's because they thought they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
They thought they could do it easily.
And by they, we're talking about the Russian government, not the Russian people, most likely. No.
Yeah, Putin and the generals and his generals.
Yes, exactly. So we're talking about the ego of one man and his subordinates.
Yeah, they basically thought they could do it, and they want to do it so that they can just make Russia more and more powerful by getting territory closer to mainland Europe, getting more ports on the Black Sea. Basically just expand imperialistic expansion, basically. They just want to be bigger, get more. And those are economically high value areas.
Yes. Is the gain going to be as such that it's worth sacrificing so many of their fighting age men?
I mean, I would say definitely not.
Like if they were successful and they took Ukraine back and they got these ports and they got their land, how much would that have improved your average citizen, Russian citizen's life?
Not much at all. It would just make give more money flowing into Russia, and hence flowing to Putin and his cronies to improve the military, make it more powerful, blah blah blah. Yeah.
So I'm seeing that I'm feeling like it's mostly just Putin really wanted it back for his ego.
Yeah, totally. Like China and Taiwan. Like it's straight up like the country is like their baby. And if mm-hmm. you can put more bells and whistles and deck it out with more shit, then that is like what you want to do. So
yeah, even at the cost of like
human life, yeah.
A lot of their young people's lives.
Yeah, it's insane. They're psychopaths. Yeah.
So, like, I can't think of any modern wars that are actually necessary.
The wars of defense are necessary, but that's about it.
Yes, but wars of defense are because there's someone attacking unnecessarily. Yeah. So that's the catalyst being unnecessary.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you could argue. You can argue that it's necessary. Eventually, it could be necessary to fight a war over resources.
Yeah, but the reality is there's enough resources on the earth to sustain everyone.
To sustain everyone, yes, but to make everybody rich, nope.
If everybody's rich, no one's rich, Sam.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, communism failed. We have to remember. Yeah, so I'd say humans, like from the outside looking in, if I was an enlightened species looking down at humanity and seeing how we interact with each other, I wouldn't see much difference at all between humans and wild animals. Like there's not much difference between how humans interact with each other and how like a troop of chimpanzees interacts with another troop of chimpanzees.
Yeah.
Or lions interacting with elephants at the watering hole. Like,
I mean, it's just a classic example of our biology, pieces of our biology that were necessary at one point, that we don't need anymore for the most part, but still is like very ingrained into us as a species.
Yeah. And and we certainly have a capacity for moral action. Like, we know the difference between right and wrong. Like, we're not, we seem to be different from animals in that sense. But again, if you actually look at what we tend to do, it tends to be pretty bad.
Yeah, but I'm thinking, like, I don't know. The difference between humans and animals is our ability to transcend our biological impulses. That's what I think, right?
By that, do you mean, like, we understand the difference between right and wrong?
As in, we're not all just giving into our base instincts all day, every day, running around fucking fighting and eating, you know?
True, but and then, like, a big question is, would you do that if you could? Because most people can't do that. Most people can't do whatever they want to do all the time.
No, you'd go to jail. I mean, society is built around everybody agreeing that that's not good on the whole.
Yeah, so we are constrained by ourselves from going crazy.
I mean, we've talked about this before, about the guy with the ring that makes him go invisible or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And where, if you, even if you could get away with all these impulses, would it be, would you do it? And would you, that make you happier overall? If you could really go and do whatever you wanted without any fear of consequence and no one would know, would that make you happier for real?
Yeah.
I'm not convinced it would.
Yeah. So maybe another point we could look at is, so given that, like, we say humans are morally flawed, okay, we could probably agree we're very morally flawed, but we're not totally bad. But there are some humans who are totally bad and some humans who aren't. Is it right to going back to the train tracks, suppose we're on one train track, morally flawed, bad, but we still have capacity to suffer. We still have things we want to do in life that are maybe good things. We have moral worth, but we're flawed. Would it be worth it to wipe us out to preserve another intelligent race that was not morally flawed in our sense, for whatever reason? But they also have the capacity to suffer and feel pain and stuff like that. And they want to survive as well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would. Would you have to take into account the population size in that equation?
Yeah, on a utilitarian analysis, you'd have to take into account how much happiness would result one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So we could spin it in such a way that there might be less of the superior beings, but their capacity for happiness might be so much higher than ours because it isn't offset by their because they don't have the flaws that would cause them to do unhappiness. So it might be on a utilitarian analysis that the other creatures have a higher, their survival yields more happiness than humanity's survival.
And is it happiness or is it just lack of I was thinking about the Borg from Star Trek. Like, I think there's way more of them than there are humans in that show. And amongst themselves, they don't have any conflict, right? So they would be considered the peaceful. In comparison, they would be more peaceful of the two civilizations, right? Because humans are constantly fighting with each other. The Borg don't fight with each other. So they're actually, you know, if you compare them, the societies, they're more peaceful and enlightened than humanity. So we should be happy when they start assimilating humanity, because those humans, which had the potential to be, you know, to have, you know, to hurt their fellow mankind because of greed or jealousy or any of the other, you know, hundreds of reasons someone might commit a violent act, they're actually better off as a Borg, because then they're unified.
Okay, Mr. Borg apologist.
I am.
Well, I would say a few things to that. First, I would say I don't think the Borg have any capacity for happiness.
Well, that's a bit racist of you.
I don't know. They seem like they are like they're a hive mind.
Yeah. What's so bad about that?
There's nothing necessarily wrong with being a hive mind.
You can't be a happy hive mind. If the mind of the hive is happy, then they're all happy.
Yeah, but are they happy? I think the Borg are like, maybe they are happy. I don't. They seem so straight-faced. They don't seem happy.
Well, they might not express it in the way that you would want them to express happiness, Sam.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they express their happiness by putting more tubes in themselves.
Jeez. Well, the Borg queen was very sexy, but she was not very happy. Didn't seem like it. She seemed just like, I don't know.
And what would she, you know, what was fun, the thing about the Borg queen is that she seemed the most human-like out of all the Borg. Right? The reason she seemed more human than the rest of the Borg is because she was unhappy.
Because she was partly human.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Here's a question. Do you need to have the capacity for unhappiness in order to be happy?
Well, yeah, that's a good one. It depends again on how you define happiness. If you define it as the psychological state, then you could argue that you need a comparator. So you need to know what unhappiness feels like in order to feel happiness.
Right. Can you describe happiness as the absence of suffering?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough question because everyone has been unhappy at some point. So we don't really know if we could be happy without being unhappy. It's a tough question conceptually. Yeah.
I mean, it does seem like it's you don't know what you got till it's gone type of thing, right? It's like if you don't realize how good you got it until things get worse. And then when things get better, you appreciate it more because you know how things could be.
Mm-hmm. So another point like we could make is you could say, look, it's just not this whole question doesn't make sense because happiness as a concept only applies to flawed beings.
Right. They don't need to differentiate. A really enlightened society doesn't need to have these distinctions of happiness and sadness because they're always on the fucking locked in to the one emotion that they need.
Yeah, so you could say then against, you could say like, look, if you let the humans all die, then there's actually less happiness. And I guess you could look at it from a different way.
There's also less suffering.
There would be less suffering if you let the humans die.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's more happiness if you let the humans stay alive, but does that get canceled out by all the suffering that continues from leaving the humans alive?
Exactly. It's a fucking conundrum.
It's a conundrum. Okay. Here's another one. All right. So we've got the morally intelligent race, morally superior, intellectually superior, blah, blah, blah. Maybe it might be worth wiping out humanity to let them survive if preserving happiness is the most important thing or increasing happiness. So here's an alternative. God's commandment. Ooh. Didn't see that one coming.
It always comes. It always comes eventually.
Right. So this is the one you believe or God has commanded you to wipe out the human race.
Mm-hmm.
Because God says the human race is evil, has to die for whatever reason God says it.
Well, God's will is paramount if you believe in an all-powerful God, all-wise God.
Yeah.
There's no point in even questioning what he wants because he's fucking God.
Yeah, exactly. If you believe in a God and an omnipotent being that is the source of all morality and reason, then you couldn't, you couldn't argue against that.
That's why I like the Pantheon. I used to do a bit about, maybe I'll bring this joke back. I'm just going to write it down. I used to do a joke about how it's better to have, it would be better to have a pantheon of gods, like the Greeks and stuff, that can argue amongst each other. And, you know, like Zeus and whatever, one of these other gods, like they have conflicts amongst themselves, right? They're very human in that way. And I just feel like that's, I can relate to that better than like the all-knowing perfect God of most monotheistic religions, right? That's not what the joke's about, but that is, the joke is about how I need more than one God getting mad at me to in order for me to behave. But it is, I feel like I could get on board with a religion that has gods that I can relate to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting. You could have like the god that likes to watch TV, and then you could have like the god that goes for hikes.
And like, yeah, one god pisses you off, you go bitch about that god to the other god.
Makes a lot more sense, yeah, when you think about it.
I'd rather have it like, you know, rather than the oppressive or like confusing nature of this all-powerful God that can smite all of humanity but still love you type thing, that weird like oxymoron definition of God's personality, like that I can't really understand. I'd rather just God be like we talked about this before, like maybe God is like just as frustrated with how things are going as we are, but admits that a lot of it is his fault, and it's his first time raising a a planet, and you know, he should be coming to us with his hat in hand like, I am so sorry, I had all the pieces at the start, and somehow
yeah, we deserve some sort of reimbursement. Yeah,
I want an apology.
Reparations.
Yes, reparations. How did you fuck this up?
Yeah, okay, that's interesting. Yeah, so of course, I mean, suppose there was a being that was like a god and that ordered the destruction of humanity. That would be enough to conclude for me that god is, unless they had a really good reason for it, I would say this is proof that this god is not morally superior to humans.
I mean, God, the God of the Bible, did it. He did exactly what he said. He was like, oh, God.
Times.
First try. It was my first trial. Let's wipe it out. Let's flip the board and start over.
Yeah.
This time, it's going to be sweet.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, God's command, not good. Here's another one. I think this is kind of related to the three-body problem one, but this is sort of putting on the scale. On the one hand, you have humans, and then on the other hand, you have, let's say, Earth's ecosystem, or you could say another planet's ecosystem, for example. Imagine humans fuck up our planet. We have to go somewhere else to a planet that is supporting life. But in order for us to live there, we have to modify the atmosphere in some way that wipes out like a ton of the planet's life or something.
Right.
Could that be, would be morally justified to wipe out an entire other planet's ecosystem and re-terraform it to preserve humans? So that one's an interesting one. Cause that one, the question there is, does an ecosystem or does nature have moral worth? So that's the question. Does the collective, all the species have more moral worth than just one species?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, because what, you know, what makes you and your friends any better than the pack of wild horses running on the plains? You know, like, what, just because you have the ability to alter your environment and think about it doesn't make you necessarily more valuable in the cosmic sense.
Yeah, exactly. Like Avatar is a good example. I think this is basically what Avatar is about. But so there in Avatar, it's like humans want to live. Maybe humans need to live on that planet but they can't because the atmosphere is wrong. The wildlife is too dangerous. So they change the atmosphere, wipe everything out, and then replace it with humans. So we could, again, question, like, you could do a utilitarian thing. Is nature happy? Do we lose happiness by wiping out an ecosystem that maybe doesn't have human level intelligence?
I'll answer your question with another question. Do you think, because if you're looking at the planet as a whole, you know, the ecosystem is relatively good balance. Everything was kind of balanced pretty well. Evolution was doing a good job of providing enough predators to cull the prey and enough biodiversity to sustain the plant eaters and the insect. Everything was kind of in a good balance until one pesky species decided to become sentient. And then things started taking a bad turn for the overall global health of the ecosystem, right? So basically, humanity's branch of evolution was just the beginning cancer cells of a large tumor that's going to kill this thing eventually, right?
Yeah. As Agent Smith said, humans are a virus.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, the self-awareness is not a feature. It's a bug, basically. Mm.
And I just thought of this while you were saying that, but I was wondering, like, if humans weren't sentient, would we have just, could we be as intelligent as we are? And would the world look exactly the same, even if we weren't conscious?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think that, because I don't know. I think there's things like ambition that are mostly, you have to be conscious to have those types of desires, right?
So when one wolf challenges the alpha male of the pack, mm-hmm. is that ambition?
Not in the sense that this wolf is going to want to go take over the rest of the wolf packs in the area. I don't know. Maybe they would. I don't think it's ambition in the same way. I think it's more of a, I think that's more for survival.
Sometimes when the wolf challenges the alpha, they lose though and they get injured.
Yes.
So it didn't pay off for them to do that. It wasn't smart.
But maybe it was a risk they had to take because it would have been, it's better to take over a pack than to have to go start your own somewhere, you know?
Yeah. Cost benefit analysis. Yeah.
Yes. But I don't think that's, ambition in the way I'm thinking about it.
Hmm. But it looks the same, right? It's the smaller member of the hierarchy challenging, trying to move up the ranks in the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Functionally, that's the same thing, right? Trying to get more for yourself, make yourself the top dog. Like we even say, I want to be the top dog.
Yeah, I say that all the time. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like anywhere that humans take over, it's going to eventually end up in the same. You're going to end up in the same conundrum, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we ruin our planet, go to another planet, kill everybody there, take over their planet, terraform it, how long until this planet's fucked too, right? Like, and that's, it might be in our very nature to not be able to overcome that.
Yeah. Back to the, humans are space orcs. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, we have one mode and it's consume, kill, go, expand.
Yeah. So if that's the case, and then, but maybe, like, maybe this is a crazy thought, right? But maybe humanity, right? Maybe we are the only creatures that think about things in terms of happiness. Maybe other species don't have this concept. So we are willing to justify propagating ourselves across the universe because we are the only ones who can have happiness.
And I don't know, man. I look at my aliens
that don't have happiness, and we're morally justified to do so.
If I look at my cat laying in a sunbeam, you cannot tell me that thing's not happy as shit right then.
True. But it shares our DNA. It's on this planet. It evolved in similar environments to us. Maybe happiness is unique to creatures on Earth.
On
like
Earth.
Capacity to feel pleasure and pain, like that kind of thing.
Well, in that case, I would say, yeah, we do have the moral grounds to take over any other civilization that can experience happiness.
Even if...
Because what's it to them?
There are other... Why would they care? Can't feel happiness. They may be indifferent to their own survival, but...
Yeah.
Could they have moral worth, even if they don't acknowledge... or don't feel like they do? Like, this is another question, like plants, right? We don't think of plants as having happiness, or like works of art don't have happiness, and yet we also think it's wrong to destroy them. But do we only think it's wrong to destroy them because of its effect on happiness, or do they have some inherent moral worth? Can something have inherent moral worth even if it doesn't have a capacity to feel pleasure or pain?
I mean, it can, but it's not on the same playing field as the moral worth of as a human being that can experience pleasure and pain. So, like, if you had, like, ideally, you don't burn every forest on the planet or destroy every piece of art. But if that's what it took to save all of humanity, I think that would be the right move.
Mm-hmm. Because there's no suffering necessarily.
Yeah, basically, if somehow every single plant overnight turned incredibly toxic to human beings, I would be on the first plane to napalm land. I would be dropping, and then we'd figure out what to do after later.
The first plane to napalm.
Whatever. I would be dropping fire on these bitches. I'd be space lasering. I would be whatever conspiracy theory. You want? Did you hear that Marjorie Greene Taylor wanted to use space lasers on the southern border?
Does anyone have those? How does she know if those are real? That would be like the most secret thing in existence. A space laser.
It's well known, and it can't burn blue tarps. That's what we learned with the Hawaii fires.
Oh yeah, right. I forgot.
Space lasers.
Imagine if that was the key to like defeating lasers. And then in the next war, everyone's just wearing tarps all the time.
You know what? The world is so ridiculous. I wouldn't even be fucking surprised.
Yeah.
So what if
there was like a planet and there was no consciousness on it, but it was full of like alien artifacts and alien plants and stuff and whatnot. Would that have moral worth? Would it be right to just knock bulldoze the shit out of it?
Like I said, if it was the only way for humanity to survive, I would say it's not ideal. I would rather that not be the case. If there's one track that has every non-sentient living organism on it, and the other track has all the sentient organisms, which track do you take out?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we can't live without our... I mean, really, we can't really live, thrive as a species without our non-sentient brothers.
Yeah. It's true. We need them.
Yes.
So, I would say... we got 20 minutes. We can do two more. Maybe three more. So, I'm still... I feel like I want to think... There must be some way that there could be a situation where there's aliens that aren't like us in the sense that they aren't really, maybe there's like one species of alien and they don't have a lot of conflict, but we do have a lot of, anyway, I think we've hashed this enough.
I think the final answer is if there's a better species out there, then they should win.
Yeah.
May the best species win.
Okay, that's very Law of the Jungle.
Yeah. Well, by best, I don't mean most ruthless and most violent. I mean, basically, if there's a Na'vi-type civilization out there, they should be the ones that win out if there was ever a conflict. Unfortunately, those types of civilizations are historically not very good at violence, so they don't win very often.
Yeah. Like, practically speaking, the space orcs will win.
Yes,
practically, because, you know, until we encounter a species that is just so much more powerful than us without even trying, like, they just evolve to be, like, pretty much indestructible. And so they don't really have this concept of violence, and we're just kind of pounding on their chest like a toddler.
Yeah, it's, okay, I'll take one more stab at this, and then tell me if I'm crazy. But
all right.
Trying to explain this law that's hard to explain. So we have planet A, right, where we have our ecosystem
mm-hmm.
that has evolved in a certain way, where there's tons of competition and there's the cruelty of nature, and there's a balance between suffering and not suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it goes one way, sometimes it goes the other way. And so we consider our moral value in terms of avoiding suffering and increasing happiness. And that applies to us, and it makes sense for us, and it works for us.
Mm-hmm.
But suppose there's a planet B, and for whatever reason, they're also alive, they're also conscious. But for whatever reason, the concepts of happiness and pleasure, pain, these don't make sense for them.
Right.
They assess morality on a different basis.
Right. Like,
are we morally justified to wipe them out because they don't meet the criteria? They don't have the criteria that we think morally matter, even though they think they morally matter for other criteria.
Well,
does that even make sense?
Bringing it back to Shogun, when these people are denied their chance to commit suicide honorably, they get very upset.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if there was a culture out there that had a totally different sense of, because like, honor is the most paramount thing in that society, right? And if they are denied the chance to do what honor dictates, that to them is worse than death. So in a lot of ways, they're sense of what makes them happy is completely different than the white guy from London in that show, right?
Right.
Being denied an honorable death is worse than death, but most cultures the Western culture, or the white guy in that show, finds it very hard to understand. So which version of happiness is more legit? The one that comes from a honorable suicide, or the one that comes from getting to live even though you did something that deserves you to commit sudoku, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's a tough one, for exactly those reasons you say. And also it's tough because it's almost like the morality feels like a game where everyone is playing together because they all have these same criteria. And if you don't have the criteria that supposedly morally count, then you're not in the game. You don't count morally. But what if like the thing that like scares me is, what if the criteria we use for this only exists on our planet and our morality just can't make sense of other beings because they don't have the criteria that we think matter. And yet they might confound us by seeming to have some sort of worth, even though they don't have happiness or suffering, for example. So maybe there might be some intrinsic moral worth that comes with intelligence or something like that.
Yeah, it might be a little bit of a flaw in logic to think just because something's sentient makes it more valuable. Mm-hmm. It might make it less valuable because it fucks everything up.
yeah, true. Yeah. Unless it turns out plants are conscious. Mind blowing.
Oh. that would make the forest fire season a lot more horrific.
Yeah, that'd be bad. Okay, here's maybe this here's another one. True love. True love.
Mm-hmm.
Would you, the hero, save your one true love at the cost of letting everything else burn?
What you have to define letting everything else burn.
You have to choose Chelsea or the world.
Ooh, I would probably choose Chelsea, honestly.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's not that hard of a choice. Sorry, Sam.
Yeah. Okay, last one. There's one kitten.
Oh, fuck.
You can't kill it with the train. You have to go kill it with a piece of sandpaper.
Oh, what the fuck, Sam? That is not cool. To even think of this scenario makes me feel like you need to, you have something weird going on in your head.
I'm making a list of things that would be worth killing all of humanity for instead of doing. So actually the opposite.
Would I rather have snap my fingers and all of humanity disappear or have to kill a kitten with a piece of sandpaper?
Which one would be morally justified? Like, you might feel worse about killing the kid with sandpaper, but
I think after just me and this kitten hanging out for the rest of, the rest of my life is just me and this
bites
cat.
You.
Turns out to be a terrible cat.
Yeah.
No, obviously I would have to kill this cat with the sandpaper, but I would make it a low grit so it didn't take so long.
Low grit. Oh man. Yeah, I didn't specify like rubbing or anything. Like you could, yeah. I guess.
Can I use a sanding belt?
Punch it really hard. Yeah.
Could I just put it under a sander? Like Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You came up with this. Don't Jesus me.
True. Right. So, okay. Thank you. See, it's hard. Is that a good thing about us that we're like, oh, this is tough. I don't want to kill this little kitten. Or should we immediately be like, oh, of course I will kill the cat. All of humanity. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's a good point. Cause I think most, like a bigger animal, like a big dog in the wild, like we're talking not like a domesticated dog, but a wolf isn't going to think twice about killing a kitten and won't feel bad about it either. Right.
No, not at all.
In fact, humanity might be the only, this is probably not true, but I think that most animals that kill predators or otherwise aren't feeling guilty about that fact later after, you know, like, I don't think say two bull elephants get in a fight and one dies because it was a territorial dispute. I don't think the one that wins is going back and sitting around like, man, I really wish I didn't have to do that.
Oh, that's crazy, because I actually did see something like that once. I forget what it was. I think it was an elephant. This bull elephant kills another elephant, or like a younger elephant.
Yeah.
And then after is seen like doing weird stuff around the body, like nudging it and trying to move it and stuff. And like,
now is that us interpreting it as regret, or is it, you know,
yeah, tough.
Now elephants might have been that's the thing, is elephants, like they're known to like mourn their dead, so that might be a bad example.
Yeah,
but say a lion takes out a younger lion, right? Is it sitting around feeling remorse for that lion's loss of life?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe we should say, just to make it more in line with our scenario with the kitten, if a lion killed a smaller animal or a different species of animal, say, that's even less likely for it to feel remorse. But for us, I don't like, I mean, I can't imagine myself killing an animal, other than a bird.
Tell that to your chicken burger tonight.
I mean, I would do it if I was desperate enough. I'm sure it's just a result of our culture being so disconnected from nature that the thought of having to kill an animal is like so out of the norm for most of us now that it makes us feel a certain type of way. But if we were still hunting and gathering, maybe I would. I don't know. You always hear about the Native Americans like killing an animal, then like giving it a little eulogy on the spot, you know?
Yeah, that's they honor the spirit of the animal.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean they feel guilty about it.
Right.
It's the circle of life. You got to die.
But if we, if we as humans nowadays, if someone is, if someone kills a small animal and thinks nothing of it, we immediately think, what? Psychopath, right? Something's wrong with them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to be for a reason, for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Wantonly killing is seen as not good.
Are there animals out there that do just kill for fun?
I think orcas have been known to do that, maybe.
Yeah, all the smartest ones.
Seals and things like that. Penguins apparently are fucking depraved beyond belief.
Well, same with dolphins.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it seems like pretty much top to bottom, nature on Earth is maybe cruel is not the right word, but vicious and savage is for sure accurate.
I mean, evolution rewards that. That's why, probably. Yeah.
So, bringing it all, yeah, like insects laying their eggs in each other and paralyzing them so their larvae can eat them alive from the inside out. I mean, what the hell?
Like, I mean, if modern humans were dropped into, you know, if the same amount of, say that we take the population of whatever from the year, from like zero AD, right? Mm-hmm. Early humans, say cavemen, still Homo sapiens, but still pretty much in the caveman era. If you took whatever the population of them that were on the planet, took the same amount of people from modern humans, dropped them in the same ecosystem with no modern weapons, who do you think's going to come out on top of that?
Oh, well, of course, the ancient humans.
Well, maybe not, though, because we the modern humans would have advanced knowledge, even if they don't have the actual tools with them.
Okay, our knowledge would be absolutely useless.
You think?
Yes. They would know everything. They would know how to do everything better than we do in prehistory. Without access to metal or metallurgy and like all this stuff, they would know everything.
You don't think we could put together like a little freaking catapult or something that they don't have? Like modern
tech? It's not in the meta. It's not in the meta yet.
But we also are, we've been exposed to modern war tactics. Someone amongst us is going to have knowledge of modern war or tactics throughout history that were used, right? We have, even though we wouldn't have access to it at our fingertips necessarily, if you took a bunch of modern humans collectively, they would have enough knowledge of war tactics that the early humans would not be aware of.
Well, here's what I would say. The early humans are in a different meta, so to speak. They're playing a different meta game where there's no metal, right? Are we talking Bronze Age? Like, are people having swords or
talking Stone Age.
Stone Age. Okay. So there's no metal. You have to make, and if you want to make something, you have to make it out of stone. If you want to make an arrowhead, you have to know how to fashion that, mm-hmm. where to get the stone, how to fashion it, which is a lost art. I don't think anyone really knows how to do that the way they used to do it. So you're in their meta where they know how to make the weapons. Yes. You don't know how to make the weapons.
But we have knowledge that was acquired long after the Stone Age. Still, depending on the population sizes we're talking about, people would know a lot of things that these Stone Age people would have no idea about. So we would still have the advantage.
But what would we know that would be more important than what they know, given the meta that they're in? Like, they will be better at making fires. They will be better at chopping down trees. They will be better at all the practical skills, I would think, because that's all they know.
Well, there would be tactics that they aren't.
Wouldn't they know all the best tactics, given what's available?
Like, not necessarily.
What happened when the Vikings went to Newfoundland? They got their asses whooped. That's what happened.
Well, there was definitely a population difference in that scenario. I don't know. I'm not a fucking historian. I don't know what's going on here. I think my first point was going to be that the early humans would have a much easier time killing without remorse.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Less hesitation, more of that killer instinct, as they say.
Yeah, they've probably seen more death.
Mm-hmm. So they're probably a lot more comfortable with death than
modern humans.
Yeah, and I would say they are also far less likely to fight in a way that we would consider honorable or predictable. And their strategies would primarily be based on ambushes, surprise attacks, deception, that kind of thing.
True. Not to mention they were probably physically way beyond our like fitness level of the general population.
Yeah, I would imagine their cardiovascular ability would be outrageously more than ours. And I would also reckon that they would have a serious advantage in hand strength and wrist strength.
Probably.
See some of these pictures of these people back in the day, and their like hands and wrists are insane.
Yeah. I don't know where I was going with that, but that's our episode. When is this going to be out, Sam? By the time this comes out, my special will be available on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Music. So look up Salty, Jordan Strauss, Salty. Enjoy it.
Salty.
Anything else to add?
Happy Hitler's birthday.
Okay. We'll edit that out. Okay. Okay. Bye. Stone.